So, Carrie, we were just discussing the when you were first kind of looking into to poachers and the element of that impact is having on Africa, that you didn't find many women in that space, and yet you did meet a woman who enlightened you to a whole group of women. Can you catch me up from there?
Definitely. So I was fortunate enough to meet a woman who ran a game reserve in just outside of Johannesburg. And I said to her, I'm surprised that there are no women in this space. You know, is that true? And she said, oh my goodness, there's so many incredible women in this space. And she introduced me to the first couple. And from then, it was just putting out my network and saying, I want to meet this person. I was at the same time researching how dire the numbers were for these animals that were, you know, becoming extinct. And then the more I uncovered, the deeper and more conflicted I became about the situation. It's so complicated. It's driven, you know, there's abject greed on the one side, and then there's, abject poverty on the one side, and then disgusting greed on the other. And these animals are being annihilated so that the Asian population can wear trinkets. And, I mean, I'm really reducing it down, but I thought to myself, you know, I want to meet women in Asia who are fighting. I want this to be an extraordinary film, so almost like turning every paradigm on its head of what you think poaching is and come at it from a very feminine perspective. So I realized pretty quickly, I had just watched The Ivory Game, which is an amazing documentary, but again, all males, the cast, crew, very masculine, slanted, and I thought, this is what I need to do. What's this poaching crisis going to look like through the female lens? And I started exploring. And these women, when I met them, Gadi, they opened up to me. I called the film Breaking Their Silence, hoping that they would break their silence in ways that people would be interested in and fascinated by, to be pulled in and learn about what this truly is. And the things that I was told would get these women killed, they've all been threatened mostly weekly, sometimes daily. They are fearless, but they are women of all sizes. And nothing against the Kardashians, but there's a whole group of women, young women coming up right now, whose only role model is, can your ass be bigger? Can your lips be thicker? I want to show these women as an alternative to that and say, you can be any size, any color, any religion, and you can do so much good in the world, and you can be courageous, and you can have something to aspire to, a life of purpose, which is every single one of these women said at some point in the interview, I'm living a life on purpose. I didn't feed them. I wanted this to be a film that they could tell me what's going on in Africa and in Asia, and that I didn't color it through my what I thought they were trying to say. It's purely what they're saying. And without giving too much away, it's going to blow people's minds. These women are phenomenal role models, and they're doing incredible work in the world, and I just want this documentary to amplify their message and get people behind it so we don't lose these iconic animals for just basically ignorance of not realizing how close to extinction they are.
I don't want you to reveal too much, but I've got to ask, because of the different types of governments throughout those areas, do you mind if I ask how many different places you visited, and was there any particular location where there is maybe the heart of the story or anything like that? I know obviously South Africa is important to the story, but in Asia, can you mention where you visited and you know what kind of triggered you to go to those specific places?
Well, I went to Swaziland, as we talked about earlier. I was in Rwanda. I was in all over South Africa, KwaZulu-Natal. I mean, just, you know, Joburg, you name it. I went we went to Vietnam. We tried to get to China. We did have a couple of women lined up in China, and at the very last minute, they said that they weren't very comfortable about going on camera, which I fully understood. But we were documentary. We had a limited budget. I couldn't risk going to China to meet these women and then at the last minute have them say, we're not doing it, we're too scared for our lives. So I, at the same time, was exploring Vietnam, because China put up, which was great, by the way, China has put a ban on importing ivory, and it was a huge market. But what that does, it just moves it to the next country. So Vietnam then becomes the front line, Cambodia becomes the front line, Laos becomes the front line. I thought, I need women in Vietnam, and I need women who are fighting this fight, because we have this, we vilify Asia, and that doesn't solve anything, right? So if I could show these women who are fighting in a communist country where their one utterance of a sentence, was a blogger in Vietnam, a woman with two children, who only forwarded somebody else's blog, and it was something she agreed with. And she's been serving 10 years of hard labor in Vietnam, and she's already served, she's a year into that right now. So going into Vietnam, 2 days before we were leaving Kenya, I got a text from our fixer, and he said, don't come, there's a huge government protest going on, you won't see it on the news, it's not being covered, but they're pulling cameras out of journalists' hands, they're ripping up cars, it's very dangerous. And I said, it's not an option, we're coming. But it gave me an idea of what these women work within those boundaries, right? So that's a daily occurrence for them. So I chose two separate women from two different organizations that they started, and one of them I thought I'd researched really well. Her name's Trang, I'll just call her Trang for now. I loved her story because she's young and she's like a Joan of Arc character. There is no reason that she would be born in Vietnam and have this love for animals, because no one in her family, her village, her town could cared at all. But here's this woman driven by her passion to help these voiceless creatures. And during that, we had nowhere to film it because of the government protest, everyone was terrified. Nobody wanted to see journalists come in or filmmakers come in. I couldn't film at my hotel, couldn't film at any location around Ho Chi Minh, which we drove around. So I filmed her in our van. And I also, at the end of it, I said, right, let's change cars. Now we're going to go into a public park, and I'll film there. And that way, if they do grab us, we at least have the car that was